Hello again, and welcome to Kitchen Finks. We are a casual Magic podcast focusing on 60-card multiplayer and unafraid to branch out. I'm your host, Kendall, and with me today is just Will.
Howdy.
All right, so this week our schedules have got a topsy-turvy, and so it's just Will and I, and then actually Ian and I will be recording an episode later tonight, because we didn't record last week, and I didn't feel like just having a Kendall and Ian episode.
Yeah, Ian and I are either the same person secretly, or we're like Lady Hawk, where one of us is always like a wolf and the other one's a hawk or something. Like, we can never be on the same podcast at the same time, clearly.
Okay. This week.
Yeah, just this week.
All right. Do I sound any different than usual?
You do. I was going to mention that.
Okay. Yeah, I actually have I've got my actual microphone and mixing board and stuff like that set up.
Excellent. Sounds good for me.
Yeah. I've been messing around with that. Ian, a while back, Ian made the comment that our first few episodes – when we recorded in person, sounded really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing if this episode will sound really good as well.
Listeners, if y'all have any input on how we're sounding or any of that, give us some feedback. Let us know. Alrighty.
All right. So,
have you been playing magic this week?
Oh, did I play any magic this week?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I played lots of magic. I think I've got, like, the magic bug again now.
Excellent.
Like,
I'm glad to hear it. It's always much more fun when you do.
Yeah. We played, and I'll probably end up talking about this a little bit more on the Ian episode, because I actually played with Ian.
Excellent.
On Saturday night. We got two 60-card games in and two EDH games in. Right now, Ian and I are sort of – it's actually – the reverse of what it used to be. It used to be that I would go into a casual group and be pushing to play EDH.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all the people that I'm playing with are wanting to play EDH, and I'm, you know, trying to get them to play 60 card. And so it's an interesting dynamic. But we ended up playing two games of 60 card and two games of EDH. And 30 life EDH, which I decided that I really like.
Excellent.
Like, it's have you gotten a chance to try 30 life EDH yet, Will?
I haven't yet. I need to grab my group and check it out, because I know you were mentioning it before and it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's just crazy how much of a difference it makes. It makes it so that you feel like, you know, you feel like you're doing stuff when you're just attacking with your little tutu or whatever.
So
like,
even if you're dirtling, yeah, it feels less like you're dirtling.
Yeah. Well, no, because you don't have time to dirtle, because as soon as anybody takes a hit, like if you get hit for five, then you're down to 25 life.
Mm-hmm.
If you got hit for five twice, then you're down to 20 life. Then it's like a regular 60 card game.
Yeah.
Except for you're fighting EDH monsters. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's scary. I really like my dirtling.
Well, but you can still do that kind of stuff. It's just that you only have so much time.
Yeah, there's more
to set
it
up. You can't just,
which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It also cuts probably half an hour off of every game.
Yeah, I was impressed that y'all finished two games and did some 60 cards, so definitely. Cool. This week,
yeah,
I did some Magic Online. I've been doing that again. I played some Black Aggro Standard, which was fun. But more importantly,
all of your favorite cards are the best cards in Standard now.
I know. It's amazing. I played with some cards in the pre-release, and it's like, I'm going to build this deck. So I did. But I didn't build it until recently. And then I looked online, and it's like, oh, there's a card, or there's decks online that's like very, very nearly an identical deck that's, like, at
right.
GPs. And it's like, oh, well, I guess other people had the same thought at the pre-release. Oops. But,
well, and I mean, I don't know that much about Standard. I know that things have changed a little bit, but I mean the mono black deck, Pack Rat, Desecration Demon, Night Vale Spectre, mm-hmm. probably has Sign in Blood in the deck.
It's funny because that's so much of what I was playing before rotation, like when the cards were not actually good in the meta.
Right, because there was no devotion. Like right. That's you know, so that's it's cool. Yeah. I've been hopping on Magic Online as well. I've been playing Urzatron in Modern. You should build a Modern deck, Will.
I used to have one. I've got the cards to do it. I should throw it back together. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, you should. What was your Modern deck?
I saw a Travis Wu brew that was pretty, you know, as close to budget as it was likely to get. So I threw that together, and it was a dredge deck, which is all about my kind of stuff. It's absolutely terrible against all the stuff I've been seeing in Modern, which is a combo and such.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's a fun thought.
Have you played Modern since, what's his name was banned?
No, I have not.
'Cause that really shook things up. It's actually like it's a much more diverse format now. And I mean, there still are combo decks,
mm-hmm.
but they're not as,
well, no, see, I was talking about after that. I was talking about footage I watched at the Pro Tour where it's like, there was a lot of Zoo, but it wasn't winning. The things that were winning were things like, Scape Shift and, Storm and those things.
Mm-hmm.
Which is scary, but, you know, I'm sure I'll figure it out.
Storm, I actually, you know, it's okay. It's just you and me. We can talk about whatever. We'll go. I'm going to, for listeners, I'm going to interview Will here in a little bit, and we're going to go into detail on, you will learn who Will really is.
Oh, no.
Here in a minute, but that's okay because it's just you and me, so we can talk about whatever we want. We don't have Ian to keep us on topic. But, so I really like, and also I don't have a Modern podcast to talk about, so this is the closest thing to a competitive podcast that I've got, unless I wanted to talk about it on my comic book podcast. By the way, pull this podcast on packratcomics.com. We spent half an hour last week talking about a Star Wars novel.
Nice.
I really like how powerful Storm is right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's strong, like it can win. But with Seething Song banned, enough people thought it was bad that they just stopped playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just not as much of it. And then also, like, you do, The level of consistency that I've seen it right now, sometimes you only deal 18 damage with Grape Shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sort of peters out. So there's still that. I mean, it's still like, if you're going off, then it's you know, 9 times out of 10, but there's still that 1 time out of 10, and it sort of has that, tension.
Yeah.
You have that tension the whole time, mm-hmm. where it didn't used to be there necessarily.
I also like that, Storm is now, at least has some things in the deck that are weak to creature removal, because it's so reliant now on Goblin Electromancer.
On Electromancer, yeah.
Which, you know, obviously it can win without, but it is kind of a replacement for the cards that were banned. So, like, at least your main deck removal is going to do something until you side it out for whatever you side in.
Yeah, and then, like the polar opposite of that is the Splinter Twin decks, mm-hmm. that I posted on Facebook, that I basically, not even because it's the best deck, but just because it's the deck that I like least to play against, that and Living End. Mm-hmm. Well, Living End is, I always lose to it when I'm playing when I'm playing combo decks, mm-hmm. so it's not quite as relevant, but 'cause at least Living End just gives you a bunch of big creatures early, like you can answer that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Storm, or I mean, Splinter Twin, it's just like, I guess you just can't tap out ever. Like, right. that's the only thing, because I've lost to it several times with my Urzatron deck, and I'm sort of it's just hard to decide whether you actually try to do things or just wait an extra three turns so that you can leave up Beast Within mana all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Once it starts going off, if you don't have the answer, it just happens, and it's just, I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be as bad in paper because you would just be able to say, this is the combo, but like on Magic Online, and they do it, and it's like, well, do I want to make them do it? Usually I do make them play it out just to spite them because I don't like them for playing a deck that I don't like, but
right.
I don't know. But the nice thing about playing Urzatron against the combo decks is sometimes you win and sometimes you lose because like a lot of the combo decks, in order for them to really, really go off, like on turn three or turn four or whatever, that only happens about 40% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't go off, then your Urzatron-ness is awesome.
Right.
But anyway, enough about modern.
One other thing that wanted to mention before we get to interviewing is the other thing I've been doing this week is cubing, and I've yet to drop a match, which is fun. been playing Magic Online. One of the decks was basically exactly what you would expect from me. It was a Golgari graveyard interaction. I had like a... I was discarding creatures to tutor up for stuff. I was entombing Gravecrawler and then playing it. I was sacrificing my creatures. I was doing all sorts of mean and absurd stuff. I one game against a control player, I reanimated Sundering Titan and used Recurring Nightmare to repeatedly sacrifice and reanimate that until my opponent had zero lands left and won the game that way, which felt pretty sweet. So that was pretty fun. And then I did the Marshall Sutcliffe special of the blue-black tempo aggro deck, which was also fun. So those have been fun. I also did some cubing with a friend of mine. His cube decks were slightly less reliable. He lost a round, which, you know, happens sometimes.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was just big fun. I recommend the Magic Online cube. Even if it is not your favorite cube, it's still cubing, so it's fun.
I'm sure that I will give it a try again eventually. My problem with the Magic Online cube is, one, the EV is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't want to do it over and over and over and over again, if you just want to play like, you know, like two times or something, it really doesn't lend itself to that. And then also, I like playing with bad cards, and cubing is good cards.
See, I like bad card cubes most of all, but, I'll take what I can get.
I think in theory, the best, because I haven't really ever had a positive cube experience, whether it was with my cube or anyone else. I think that in theory, my favorite cube would be one that mirrors a really good limited environment.
Yeah.
So, like, the idea of a Modern Masters cube, I think, is kind of cool. The only other thing is, like, I don't like that you only have one copy of each card in a cube, because when I build limited decks, I want it to be around a theme or a keyword and stuff, and I like to be able to target those,
mm-hmm.
you know, those key cards and get those key cards.
See, I think that's where creative cube design comes in. Like, if you are making a cube where one of the archetypes is graveyard interactions, you don't need six copies of the same card. There are so many sets that have focused on graveyard interactions in the history of Magic, that you can have six different cards that fulfill similar roles, but can be singleton to provide slightly different interesting variants on it and slightly different interactions. So you can still kind of get similar feelings. Obviously, you can't really do a splice onto Arcane deck cube singleton. So you would have to, if you wanted to have archetypes like that, you'd have to go multiples. But I'm totally okay with you saying, like, oh, I want Squadron Hawks in my cube, so I'm going to put four in. Like,
right.
Really, it's your cube. If you want to do those sorts of archetypes, I'm totally fine with that. I have that Modern Masters cube that has four of every common and two of every uncommon. It's a format that does not reward rigidity in design.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just that I think the thing is that when other people build cubes, they usually have one of each card.
Yeah,
and therefore, my experience playing other people's cubes has not been the best. And also, like, because it's people playing, and granted, I haven't played that much cube, but the handful of times that I have, a lot of times it's like, I feel like I'm, you know, I open a pack and I have no idea what any of these cards are. And so having cards that are basically the same but slightly different and with a different name and different art.
Yeah, that's totally like, fair. And I really dislike cube the first couple of times I tried it just because I didn't know what the heck was going on, and then I die on turn three. And it's like, this isn't fun at all. And I think I was even playing, like, Powered Cube and just stuff that I didn't know was happening.
Right. And that's, I mean, and that's the other thing. And that's why I'm, like, I've always kind of liked Modern, because I feel like the more I learn about Modern, the more, controlled its power level is.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when I see Legacy, or when I hear people talk about Vintage or Cube, it's just like, it's just like the game lasts three turns, a bunch of crazy non-interactive spells happen, or it's interactive, but it's all on the stack, counterspell wars. I don't know. That is not the type of Magic that I want to be playing. It's funny because I do build combo decks in Modern, and actually after playing Urzatron, I realized that the only reason that I thought that Modern was all combo decks was that I only built combo decks. And so, you know, but anyway, we're 20 minutes into the call. Let's start the profile here.
Yeah. Always good to catch up on current events, but now we can go on to the actual topic. Yeah.
So Will, and some of this stuff, basically, I want to give people who haven't been listening to all 60 episodes a feel for, or people who maybe just started listening or are going back to these episodes or whatever, a feel for, like, who you are, what your philosophy on Magic is, what your background is, and all that.
Sure.
That sort of stuff.
Definitely.
So, and some of this stuff we've talked about in previous episodes, but that doesn't matter. Pretend like none of that happened. Pretend like you and I are complete strangers. Okay, so we'll start out. Tell me, when did you start playing Magic?
Originally, I started playing Magic in the good old days. So, you know, my favorite card was Pirate Ship, and Pirate Ship was awesome. And Prodigal Sorcerer was new, and I don't remember the exact set, but it was shortly after Unlimited, I think. So it was relatively close to the beginning. I did the same thing that everyone does, and after, you know, a couple years or whatever of playing Magic, I stopped, set aside, didn't really play again until, like, late Scars block. So I did a little bit of Scars block. I drafted really terribly. I was kind of offended by how powerful some of the stuff had become. You know, but all of the usual. And I've been playing since and kind of evolving from there.
Mm-hmm. All right. So So what do you think? What do you think you bring to the podcast? What do you think your niche is on the show?
There are a couple of things. Obviously, this is a casual podcast, but there are a lot of different kinds of casual. I feel like where you and Ian do more of the EDH-centric or like Star Magic, like multiplayer-specific formats go, mm-hmm. I tend to do more of the casual limited kind of formats. There's definitely a lot of overlap. Y'all have introduced me to a lot of stuff that I've been enjoying. I've been playing EDH lately and all that. But my bread and butter is more like two-person drafts or cubes with a bunch of friends and some beverages of choice. That kind of stuff. Like my ideal night of magic is grilling out some hamburgers, having friends over, and having a couple drinks while playing some, drafting a cube or something, like that kind of thing. So I present the other side of things, and I also kind of show an alternative perspective because I've got a different background, and also I kind of try and keep y'all from slitting each other's throats when y'all argue too much.
I was waiting for that. Yeah.
Somebody has to.
So you say you have the choice beverages. I got a two-part question.
Sure.
How much do you think you can actually drink and still play Magic?
I haven't actually gotten to try the booze cube, but just the cards I've seen looked like they would make me unable to play Magic surprisingly quickly.
I don't like the booze cube. I just in general for drinking and Magic.
I have progressed beyond college, you know, people's crazy wild party days in college, which for me happened a bit after college. But I'm definitely not like I'm not looking to get plastered. I'm much more looking to just keep things enjoyable. My friends and I have done a thing called draft. In which we get one of those little mini kegs that you can get for $20-$30 or whatever at the beer store, and we all split that, and that was a pretty good amount for the group that we had, which can give you kind of an idea, like not really pushing things. Rarely would I want to do shots anymore at this point in life, but I sure... can handle a beer or cider or several. So
yeah, I guess for me, I mean, I have played after drinking. I think I remember playing it was right after my birthday. I went to play Dungeons and Dragons, but like the whole group wasn't there, mm-hmm. and also the DM had bought me a one of the new commander decks, and I had had a really bad, it was in that gray area where I had that terrible job a few months ago.
Right.
So I don't remember all the details, but I think I'd had a really, really bad time and drank a lot before I went and then drank while I was playing. And yeah, That's the only time I can think that I was like that I successfully played Magic. I mean, I wouldn't say I successfully played Magic, but like actually, you know, I actually played,
mm-hmm.
and was you know, and of course I was playing a brand new deck too.
Nice,
but
yeah.
I
know I've definitely won at least one 8-4 while in a state that would be ill-advised to try and play 8-4s in. But.
Oh, well, no, Magic Online is a completely different thing, too.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's... I used to do that a little bit, you know. Drinking and drafting is a dangerous thing. At the end of your turn, you keep forgetting to ping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, that is absolutely...
And all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I just... because... And I really don't feel like most of the time when I'm in a social situation where we're playing Magic that I drink. There's one guy that I play with, Dwight, that will be drinking beer, but it's kind of hard to tell if he's drunk or if he's tired or if he's just being himself.
It really depends on the group. Like, it's definitely not something that is kind of a assumed thing. It's just, if it's the group for it who wants it, then it'll happen, and if not, then it doesn't happen.
Yeah. So something I wanted to talk to you about, because it's sort of your area of expertise, and we talked a little bit about Cube in general. But I wanted to talk about your cube, because you have a cube.
Yeah, absolutely. I have two, although one's basically just a fake Modern Masters box.
Right, so you built the Modern Masters cube, which, by the way, Ian and I signed the Kitchen Finks. We each signed one of them. Is that what you wanted? Or did you want both of us to sign both of them?
I didn't really care. I was kind of curious which way y'all would do it, but I figured either way would make me happy.
See, because Ian thought – see, the way I had it in my head was that both of us would sign them, and then we would send them to you, and you would sign it too, and then it would be all three hosts on the cards. But Ian thought it was each one, so we each signed one, and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no worries.
Ian tried to send it – tried to get – or he sealed the envelope, and I made sure to – to stick them in a top loader before I, because he didn't seal it very well, and he just stuck the cards like just in their sleeves in there. I was like,
I appreciate that. Yeah, I tried
not
to,
the best way.
I tried to like fake it by folding some cardboard around it to protect it. Well, and that's good top loaders.
Yeah,
or whatever, but.
Yeah, and I mean that's perfectly acceptable. I think I will, when I run out of top loaders, I will wrap stuff in cardboard. I'll rip up a Mountain Dew box.
Mm-hmm.
And, So you have a Modern Masters cube that's just, you said, two copies of each uncommon and four copies of each common for Modern Masters.
The rares are either so balmy or so entirely irrelevant. So it feels like the rares kind of mess up the format a little bit. Like, sometimes it can be fun to play with them, but you really don't need them to get the feel for it.
Right. Okay. So, I just hit my guitar. Your cube.
Yes.
What is it? What is its mission statement or whatever you're supposed to know about a cube?
Yeah, basically, I have been considering some drastic overhauls for it, but the original mission statement was I wanted a cube that had some of the general ideas that are in some of the more mainstream cubes, like the Magic Online cube or whatever. But I wanted to play cards that are more fun and interesting. For example, if a card has very, very high power but is like vanilla, then there is no way it would make it into my cube. So my cube has a much lower power level, and I tried to balance it around that. So everything's basically a little bit more dirtily and a little bit more like a normal draft set. However, I've got some of the same archetypes. There's definitely some reanimator stuff. White and blue have a lot of flicker stuff, so I made sure that all of the colors have some really interesting come into play effects. Venser, the Sojourner, is a very good planeswalker for blue-white. I don't have many planeswalkers because most of them are above the power level that I'm looking for. I have won a draft game off of the back of Tybalt. It's that kind of thing. Like, there's a lot of token strategies because tokens are really interesting, but you know, there are pretty good answers to token strategies as well, so it's not necessarily as overpowered as it could be. That kind of thing. I'm working on some overhauls, including I'm thinking about moving Reanimator exclusively into white, because there are some cool old white reanimation spells that I'm interested in, and I'm thinking about putting in the Madness mechanic, which looked kind of fun. So we'll see what happens, but I'm thinking about making some big changes. If I do so, I may eventually send you all the Google Doc of it, and we can post that on the Facebook page in the show notes if I make some drastic overhauls.
Yeah. Okay. Tybalt. Yeah. Someday I'm gonna figure out a list. That's a cute. The one thing that I do like, the sort of abstract concept that I like about cubes, although I don't know how good they are executed in practice, is the idea of having a theme cube. Mm-hmm. And I would really like to build a cube that is full of cards that don't quite work the way that you would like them to, but then have errata so that they do work the way that you would like them to.
Oh, God. That's. Oh, like homemade errata.
Well, cool. Yeah, so like Tybalt, and he would
just
let you choose the card that you discard.
I like the idea of you just whiting out the word at random.
Yeah, and then also his second one, it would be deals damage to target player, and then like there's like a carrot, and it says creature or player for his minus mm-hmm. ability, and then another one that comes to mind is Seance.
Oh, man. Seance is perfect as it is.
But you get it. But the way you want it to work. Now, because it doesn't matter whether the card is good in and of itself or not. It's like, does it work the way that you want it to work? Or like have a I don't know. See, that's the problem is I can't think of that many cards that fit. You know, mm-hmm. that fit the Tybalt role, like that just need like minor changes, and then they would.
Watching some of the old flashback drafts, it seems like a lot of people would be really happy if some of the old cards that used to work differently while damage went on the stack, you could just append, play this card like damage goes on the stack.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's true. Fling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think that's like the biggest. That's the biggest thing. Is
right, or anything that bounces itself. I've actually seen a lot of, like, Onslaught and whatever kinds of drafts where people, like Magic pros and such, complain about that sort of thing just because they're trying to be hipster, and I liked this while it was still underground.
Mm-hmm. I need to get... See, I don't have... The problem with flashback drafts, the problem with playing Limited on Magic Online is you got to pay every time you play... But in January, I really liked playing all the flashback drafts.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I can in April.
Yeah.
Did they say which ones all of them are yet?
I'm not sure. I believe that Scar's Block are still up right now, but I'm not sure what's coming.
Scar's Block is?
I believe so. If they were recently, I don't know if they still are.
I was even just saying that I'd like to draft Scar's Block because it has all of the money cards in it.
See, I don't even want to draft Scar's Block. I would just want to watch people draft Scar's Block. I don't tend to have that much fun drafting Scar's Block, but I enjoy watching it, which is weird.
Yeah, that's... No, well, I don't know about liking watching it. I know that every time I draft Scar's Block, I'm disappointed. So April 2nd to 9th is Odyssey Block.
Yeah, Scar's
Time Spiral
right
Block, Shards of Alara, Lorwyn Morningtide, Shadowmoor Eventide. So Scar's is now?
Yeah.
So that's only until a couple days. Oh, well. I'd have to, like, sell my modern deck in order to draft it so that I could... pull a Karn for my modern deck.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll knock the price of Karn down because it's there.
If you look at drafting on Magic Online as a, well, this is the cost of going to see a movie or whatever, so I'm just paying for this entertainment and I'm totally not going to get anything back for it, then... as a kind of sunk cost, it can be fun, and sometimes you will win another free draft. So it's just one of those things, like, it's not something that you can just assume, oh, well, I'll get to keep doing this, because that's not how Magic Online works. Like,
right. Well, yeah, no, I agree. And I'm not going to see movies right now either.
Fair enough. No, I totally get that, and there are definitely times where I entirely cut off a Magic Online just because I didn't want to pay the extra money. I just drafted my cube because it's free. But sometimes I have a little more cash flow, so I play a little more online.
And I've probably the thing. Yeah, but okay, so cube, yeah, is your cube is your cube. Let's see, what else did I want to ask about? Okay, so why don't you tell the story of how you got on the podcast? Make listeners out there feel like we are not among the clouds. We are normal people. We were once human.
I was just doing some of my FNM level bad standard doing my thing. I was just getting into Magic Online and doing some drafting there, and I started emailing you guys because you had what's the card? A Splinter Fright Innistrad legal standard deck that you guys were working on that was really sweet. And I, emailed you all some questions and back and forth, and it was fun emailing with you guys. And eventually we emailed enough that you were like, you'd want to come on the podcast and we can talk about cards and just basically do more of what we're emailing. So it was pretty fun to email back and forth, and really cool interacting with the podcast people that I was listening to when I went for walks or whatever, and y'all are cool enough people that I decided to come on when y'all invited me in. Y'all somehow didn't get sick of me, so I'm still here.
And the interesting thing is, too, the bulk of the time that you and I were corresponding with emails, that was like in the three or four months that we didn't have an episode. Because Ian and I did like the first 10 or 15 episodes. And then we just it was mostly the summer. We didn't do an episode all summer. And I wanted to sort of, figure out a way to, the way we'd been doing it, I wasn't real happy with it. And I mean, there were good episodes, but it was, sort of effort on our end and, what can I do to have it be less effort on my end and still have, keep some momentum and stuff. And so I actually wanted to have, and we had Steven Rogers from Show of Feast and Famine until he wasn't there anymore.
For a while, yeah.
We had him for a while, and theoretically his co-host was also going to be involved. And then Johnny Kane from New Zealand, Delver of Secrets on Twitter, was also going to come on, but his schedule didn't work. And I had thought that we would have a rotating lineup of co-hosts and bring on guests a little more often, but it ended up just the trifecta.
Yeah.
You, me, and Ian. The rest, as they say, is history. It's interesting, and to put it out there, it's really, I mean, not that we're anything, but the bar is really low for podcasting. I say it a lot, and MTGcast has made it even easier to post podcasts now with their new system. And also, if you start a new podcast and use the new system, you won't have to deal with being used to the old system and transferring over.
In addition to that, though, it also serves as a reminder that podcasters in general are real people. So if they say things that you are interested in, talk to them, be it us or JudgeCast or whoever your favorite podcasters are. Some of them won't have time. Some of them have too busy lives. But a lot of times it can be really fun to email people about magic. We are on here because we like talking about magic. So if you try to talk to us about Magic, guess what? We tend to be a receptive kind of audience.
Right.
That's part of why I got on, was interested in joining the podcast in the first place, is I'd been going to F&M with a buddy of mine, a guy named Dave, and he and I were going for a while, and that was a lot of fun, but he kind of started getting out of Magic and getting interested in other stuff he wanted to focus on more. So I was like, well, I want to keep playing Magic, but it's not nearly as interesting if it's just me and a bunch of strangers. So in the interim in which I didn't have a play group, which I've kind of started to develop again, I was emailing you guys, and that was really fun. So when y'all invited me on, it's like I get to spend, you know, a night a week talking to some people who are interested in Magic about cool stuff that I like about Magic. That sounds great to me.
So, yeah.
It was a lot of fun just as a way to kind of make friends in the game, despite y'all not being local. Like, I already knew that you guys were cool people, so it was a really easy fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, and you don't have to, you've got the best of both worlds, because you don't even have to edit the podcasts.
Yeah. See, you want to be about the second or third member to join a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not that the editing process is even that bad. It's just like, it's one of those things, it's like doing the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it takes 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I mean, obviously you can take a long time if you want to really go in detail editing a podcast. It takes like just, you know, 10 minutes, but for some reason you just don't want to do it.
Right.
And some podcasts like Commander Cast, when I recorded with them and realized how much of that gets cut out, you know, 4 hours of recording because gets cut down to like a 1 hour show.
a svelte, streamlined.
Like that's, yeah. I don't think you even need to edit that much of a podcast because, you know, people are listening to it while they're driving to work or while they're at the gym or whatever. You know, so as long as it's not a freaking, as long as they don't open the file up and it says, you know, this podcast is 4 hours long and they're intimidated by it, I think it's okay if you sort of, you know, if it's not a super hardcore, 100% informative.
Yeah.
But let's see. So the last thing, because we're coming up on about 45 minutes, which is, actually, I wasn't sure if these were going to be like 20-minute episodes or if they were going to be full-length episodes, so we're almost at a full-length episode.
Just wait until until the episode where Ian and I interview you.
Ooh. I don't know. And I might do – in a few months, I might do a more like formal – interviews of you guys,
mm-hmm.
More in depth, but I just wanted to try this out.
Yeah, and there were a lot of tangents that we wanted to go on to because we were kind of talking about things in general, but I think it serves the same purpose of helping catch up everybody who doesn't quite know where we're coming from.
Right.
We ramble on some of our favorite topics and they get the idea.
Okay, so the last thing,
sure,
that I want to ask you, Ian's not here.
Yeah.
What do you really think of Ian?
I think that, you know how we were talking earlier about how I prevent you two from slitting each other's throats?
Uh-huh.
If Ian were not here, we would have a episode about Modern and an episode about cubing and an episode about one specific card that's legal in, like, six formats. And we would just be a mess if Ian were not here. Ian is the dead mother that keeps us together and makes the podcast stay interesting to listen to. I feel like you make the podcast start being interesting, but he keeps it interesting by preventing us from being stupid. Which,
right. And
as far as a podcaster, as far as a person, He's really friendly. He sounds like a really cool guy, and he's somebody I'd love to get together and play Magic with. I'm going to have to find some way to either get y'all to Texas or get the hell out to y'all so that we can do some Magic. And if that happens, then you guys are going to have to play with both of my cubes.
You should, like, come to Origins or something. Origins is in Columbus.
Oh, okay.
And that's, like, a giant gaming convention that's, like, worth traveling for, I assume. It's one of those things that's, like, you live in New York and you've never been to the Statue of Liberty. I did go to Origins 1 year, but there's, you know. But, yeah, so, yeah, that'd be something. But yeah, or just, you know, just come up for F&M sometime.
Yeah.
There's probably I have an extra bed in my apartment.
There you go.
Or we can share a bed. Either way.
All right.
okay. Yeah, no, I hear you. I think the thing that I think is very important for Magic Podcasts, and we said it on our podcasting about podcasting episode.
So meta.
Yeah. But for a Magic podcast, especially one on the MTG Cast Network, you really need to have a niche, however you pronounce that. And we are the casual, not necessarily EDH podcast.
Yeah.
Because we take it a little more seriously than some of the other casual podcasts. Have you listened to some of the ones that like have come up in the last 6 months, like the new podcasts?
I have on and off. There are some that I've enjoyed listening to, and there are some that I listened to once or twice and missed out on, skipped. But there are definitely some really good ones. I know you and I both listen to some of the bigger ones, like Drive to the Work is a relatively newer one, but obviously there are much newer ones than that.
Drive to Work just has over 100 episodes, so I wouldn't quite call them new.
He's prolific. There are definitely lots of podcasts that started after us that...
Drive to Work didn't start that long after us, though.
I don't know. I know.
It might have been. I mean, it was probably within. It was within the first year of us. But yeah.
Sure. My mind is blanking on some of the names. Because lately I've just been listening to every Cube podcast exclusively, which is good and bad. I like all of the Cube podcasts that I've heard. There's a new one called List for Cubes that I think is interesting, but they need to focus a little bit on things like audio quality to be really listenable. It's totally fine and it's something that can be resolved, and then I would love to listen to them more. The Magic Box podcast is TSG and Kyle X podcast about Cube, which they are interesting to listen to, but their theory on Cube is so drastically different. They said that this year is going to be the year in which they remove all of the dirtily cards from Cube, and this is the year where I'm going to remove all of the non-dirtily cards from my Cube. So it's kind of a different thing. Like, I can listen to them and kind of get more of an idea of, like, the stronger variants up to and above the Magic Online Cube, whereas I have to take it with a grain of salt knowing, you know, half the cards that they mention I'm never going to play in my cube, and that's fine. I've mostly been listening to Cube podcasts lately, but I know there are a lot of other good cubes out there. I know there was one limited specific one, I think Delving into Draft, that I was really enjoying for a while. So definitely worth looking around.
Would you say Delving into Draft is like the limited resources of limited podcasts? Would you say it's like the limited resources of podcasts about draft?
Yeah, it's something like that.
I've just seen, and maybe I've probably only seen it like two or three times, but I just hate it when people say, "Oh, I've got this idea for a podcast. I want it to be like the limited resources of, you know, of I don't know,
like the constructed resources of constructed,
yeah, Yeah, well, the Constructed Resources podcast that had, like, one episode.
Yeah, there were, like, two episodes, but at least they were related to limited resources. Like, yeah, they were their real-life friends, so they have an excuse.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I probably only heard it, like, a couple of times, but, like, you know, somebody said, like, I want it to be, like, the limited resources of podcasts to talk about modern. You know, I want it to be, the limited resources of a podcast to focus on standard. Mm-hmm. So it's either you have that, and then the other thing that bugs me is, like, I've got this great idea for a podcast. Let's look at the recent tournament results, deck lists, and talk about the metagame of standard.
And there are some podcasts that can pull that off, but you only need so many of them before there's
That's the thing. Yeah, and they've got – and the podcasts that can pull that off have 300 episodes under their belt.
Exactly.
We don't need another one, yeah.
Just making clear that we don't have anything against the Monday Night Magics and those kind of things that do similar things but have been around forever. Like, they're legit, have proven their worth, and we've both listened to them a lot.
And I mean, I don't have anything against the people who started. I mean, my comic book podcast, I mean, I'm sure I don't listen to that many comic book podcasts, but I'm sure that we're not the only people on the internet who read their comics and then talk about them.
Yeah.
On Wednesdays.
If you're making a new podcast, it is good to try to carve out a slightly different niche or find something about yourselves that makes it different. Like, we're, as you said, the casual ones that don't just talk EDH or, you know, kind of talk about the whole scope of casual,
and there probably are other podcasts that do it too that are better than us that we just don't, that I just don't pay attention to. But
it's enough for us. We we do what we like, and that's enough for us. Like, really, if you want a podcast about something, just do it. Just don't care about if you get listeners or not.
Yeah, and the other thing is, there are definitely listeners out there who just want to listen to somebody talk about magic 10 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So there can never be enough podcasts. But yeah, just, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, like, when I go exercise or something, sometimes instead of music, I want to just have people talking about my hobbies. So absolutely, I'll just do a grab bag, and sometimes I'll discerningly pick for things that I know to be good or whatever, and sometimes I'll just listen to whatever, and there's definitely room for all kinds of podcasts.
Yay, podcasts.
Yay.
All right, so let's go ahead and wrap this one up. It's almost 8:30.
Yeah.
You
can find...
You probably have to... do the thing. Oh, yeah. Like us on Facebook, kitchenfinkspodcast@gmail.com. Will is at ChewTur on Twitter. I am at K. Hallman. And until next time,
don't be a kitchen fink.